Thalia, are we good? Okay. Well, good morning. I do want to thank Nikki and Jackie. They're doing a great job. And there's so many hands and so many people that get this morning Bible study going, whether it's childcare or small group leaders or decorations, and cleaning up, setting up, hospitality, the coffee, the people who brought food. We're working together as a body, and we're blessing one another. And I do appreciate and thank each and every one of you for just being here and giving me someone to talk to. So I do appreciate that. And I do want to thank all of you for the extra prayers you've given me and my family this last month. We've gone through an adventure, and God has been in the midst of it. And even though I was stranded in Idaho, that's when I got an opportunity and time to prepare this talk this morning. So he was in the midst of all of that, and I do thank you for that. So I want to open in prayer as well, so if we'll just take a moment. Heavenly Father, we thank you so much for letting us come together, the privilege and the opportunity that we have to openly worship you, openly study your word, and to encourage and exhort one another on a weekly basis. We thank you so much for this church who allows us to have this opportunity as well. Father, we pray this morning that you would be glorified, that your words would be spoken, that you would open our hearts, and that you would indeed change our lives. And we love you, and we thank you that you know what's best for us. In Jesus' name, amen. So this morning we are talking about honoring one another. And I have to say, when I first was given this topic, I struggled. I struggled with, what does honor look like? What is honor? And the problem I found that I was having is that I believe in our culture in the United States that we make honor and respect synonyms, and that they're the same thing. And in reality, I don't believe they are. I went back to an early military conference that I was able to go to with my husband when we were first married, and I've shared this with some of you before. There was a lot of things in that conference I was not allowed to be participate in, but there was one talk that I was able to join in and listen, and it was the lady who was speaking to all of these soldiers was the advisor to President Reagan on Middle Eastern affairs. And she talked very specifically, and what hit my heart was the difference between the European American culture and the Mediterranean culture, particularly the Middle East, and that is a shame culture versus a guilt culture. And the shame culture is more of a group dynamic, and a guilt culture is more of an individual thing. You feel guilty, but you don't worry about the reputation of your family, whereas in the Mediterranean, they would feel like if they did something, it not only brought shame to themselves, but shame to their entire family. And so there was just a different thing. And as I started thinking about honor and respect, I realized that honor is coupled with shame, and respect is coupled with guilt, and that there is a difference in the mindset of the Middle East in this thing of honor. And you know, through movies and television and knowing people from Asia particularly, that value system they have of honoring their elder, honoring their leaders, and it just seems different than respect. I also struggled with how do I do that, because I, as a woman, I'm taught that I need to respect my husband. And is it the same thing as honoring my husband? And I really struggled with that. But as I started thinking through this and looking up definitions and figuring this out, I realized there was a distinction. And I do want to kind of go through that a little bit with you this morning. Respect is earned. You know, and we as Americans are like, I don't need to respect you. You need to earn that respect from me. And if you are not worthy of my respect, then I don't need to respect you. And that's just the attitude, you know, we have. I know as a child, we would grow up and say, you need to respect your dad. And I'm like, well, he needs to earn it, you know. And that was the attitude that I had. Whereas honor is not someone who deserves respect. Honor is character. Honor is who we are on the inside. And I also got confused with honor and respect in that sometimes it's used as a verb. We show respect. We give honor. And sometimes it's a noun. We are honorable. We are respectful. We behave in a certain way to gain respect of those around us. We teach our children to be respectful in public, and hopefully it carries through at home, but we teach them how to be respectful to their elders, how to say yes ma'am and yes sir and no ma'am and no sir, and how what don't pick your nose in public. You know, we teach them those things because we want them to be respectful of the people that they are around. But honor is given without expectation. When you recognize someone's worth or value, it is the recognition of the intrinsic character of a person to understand their hearts and their motives. And that's the biblical definition of honor. Respectful behavior is not enough. You can learn to be good, but the heart must want to be good. I found this, and I think this is helpful. Respect acknowledges a person's position, while honor attaches worth to the person. Respect teaches manners and proper behavior in the presence of others. Honor teaches something deeper, an appreciation of that person. Respect can become an outward technique to make a family look good to others, but honor builds the hidden bonds that provide great strength and long-lasting unity. When we talk about honor, it's valuing the person, not what they do. And I still was struggling with this, even though I studied all of that. And the book that we're reading, Building Up One Another, or that we're using as a foundation for this series, had an illustration that really spoke to me for the first time in the many years I've been alive in helping me understand what this really is. And it particularly spoke to me because I know somebody who is exactly like this illustration. So there was a man in a church, and he was a great accompanist, and I know many of them, and they're just wonderful. They can make those ivories sing. I mean, they are just wonderful at playing the piano. And he was known for his abilities, and one day a singer came to the church, a professional singer. And in my mind, I was thinking someone like Steve Green or someone in my generation that was a big name singer came to the church, but they needed an accompanist. And so they asked this young man if he would play the piano for him as he sang. And she began practicing during warm-ups and practice and working together. She started her first, it was a her, she started her first verse, and he just tore at those piano keys, and he was embellishing, and he was making it beautiful, and he was just like enjoying the whole song and enjoying it. And she finished the first verse, and she stopped, and she said, "Thank you so much for letting me accompany you on the song." But that spoke to me because he realized that his purpose in that moment, he could outshine her, or he could equal her in ability in every way, but his job was to make her look good. And that was her job. And as we honor one another, our job, even if we're as good as the other person or better than the other person, is to lift them up and make them look good. And I think that really spoke to me. So who, as we look at this, the scripture was written in a Mediterranean setting. The scripture was written in a culture in the Middle East and in Asia where honor was part of their culture, part of their life. And because it's not as familiar to us, I'm so thankful that God gave us his word to help us understand who we are to honor. Let's start by looking at some verses. Ephesians 6:2 says, honor your father and mother. And I think that's the first verse we think of, because in the Old Testament, it's one of the Ten Commandments. It says, honor your father and mother, which is the first commandment with promise. In 1 Timothy 5:3, it says, honor widows. It says, honor widows who are widows indeed. 1 Timothy 5:17 says, honor church leaders and preachers. The elders who rule well are to be considered worthy of double honor, especially those who work hard at preaching and teaching. 1 Peter 3:7 says, husbands, honor your wives. You husbands, in the same way, live with your wives in an understanding way, as with someone weaker, since she is a woman, and show her honor as a fellow heir of the grace of life, so that your prayers will not be hindered. 1 Peter 2:17 says, honor all people and honor the king. Honor all people, love the brotherhood, fear God, honor the king. 1 Corinthians 12:23 and 24 says, and those members of the body which we deem less honorable, on these we bestow more abundant honor, and our less presentable members become much more presentable, whereas our more presentable members have no need of it. But God has so composed the body, giving more abundant honor to the members which lack. Well, that spoke to me. What does Scripture teach, really? It's to honor everyone, thinking of others, lifting them up, making much of them, even if they don't deserve it. So I go back to our list. It's easy to honor widows. Honestly, women, we know what they've gone through. We know the struggles they've had in raising children and supporting their husbands and keeping house and working two jobs and making ends meet. And we respect and honor widows very easily. But what about those parents who have abandoned you or were violent towards you or your mother? How do we honor them? Does God expect us to? How do we honor our church leaders and our preachers when they have done very overt sins and caused damage to the body of Christ because of their testimony? How do we continue to honor the king, the president of the United States, when he does not act honorably? How do we honor all people, even those who are unhonorable in our midst? What does God expect us to do? We have to look in our heart, and God wants us to value life, the life that he has given each and every individual, no matter how messed up they are or how they don't meet to our standards. God wants us as believers to have empathy and bestow grace upon those people. Because the principle here, when I read through these verses, is that when we show honor to others, whether they deserve it or not, we become honorable. That's the character, that's the heart that God wants to put and give to each and every one of us. He wants us to be honorable women. So how do we show honor? Proverbs 15:33 says, the fear of the Lord is the instruction for wisdom, and before honor comes humility. That's the key, women. Bestowing grace on those who do not deserve it. We have to humble ourselves as Christ humbled himself. And Jeff stole the talk a few weeks ago when he was teaching on Philippians 2. So if you have your Bibles and you'd like to read along with me, we're going to go back through those scriptures that he talked about a few weeks ago, Philippians 2, 3 through 11. And verse 3 says, "Do nothing from selfish or empty conceit, but with humility of mind, let each of you regard one another more important than themselves." Isn't that what the accompanist needed to learn with the singer? Is that we needed to build others up and think of them as more important than ourselves. Jesus is our perfect example of this. Jesus humbled himself when he washed the feet of his disciples, when he didn't worry about his reputation, when he healed on the Sabbath day, when he wasn't worried about becoming unclean, when he allowed the woman with an issue of blood to touch him and make him unclean. He did not worry about himself, but he thought of others more important than himself. Verse 4 in Philippians 2 says, "Do not merely look out for your own personal interests, but also for the interest of others." We have a pretty good sized body in our church and in our community of Christians. And how often do I just go about my business taking care of myself? And one of the things we need to do is look outside of ourselves and look at the needs of others around us. Whether it's sitting in McDonald's, which I have to do way too often with children, and sitting there and seeing a homeless man next to me that I don't know and going up and buying him a sandwich. Or is it taking the time, I'm looking at Denise because she does this all the time, taking the time at a gas station to talk to the attendants and just get to know them and make relationships with them so she has an opportunity to share Christ with them. We need to look outside of our own needs and look at the interests of others. So thinking of others, we need to build each other up rather than tear each other down. Slander is a sin. And too often, even in the body of Christ, we take the time to say something or tell a story about someone that puts them in a bad light instead of encouraging them or keeping it to ourselves. We need to not disagree with someone in public. One of the things that I learned at that conference with my husband is she was telling me, because she is the advisor to the president, and her brother came in from the Middle East to visit, and they were sitting there in the limousine with the president, and I think Henry Kissinger, and her brother started talking about something in the Middle East and the affairs and things that were going on, and she knew in her heart that everything he was telling the president was wrong. And yet she did not correct him in front of the president. She waited until she got alone with him, and then he could decide how he was going to fix the situation. But it wasn't her job to make him look bad. That would have brought shame upon him, but shame upon her as well. And so we need to not disagree with people in public. We need to keep that private. Not sharing about others and putting them in the bad light, which is what I just talked about. We must be observant. We must not neglect the needs of our families, but we need to be aware of the needs of the body. And most importantly, we need to pray for ways to incorporate honor with them with either service, with deeds, or with words. We need to be looking for ways to honor. I want to give you an example of this. About 5 years ago, if some of you know our family situation, you know that I have five children, and parenting has not always been the easiest thing, as you will know for everybody, as you have raised your own children. But I had the Sunday school teacher for my youngest daughter, Stephanie, and I barely knew her at the time, and it was Michelle Fowler, our women's ministry director. And she has an art for honoring and encouraging other people. And not only did she hand make this beautiful card, and I kept it because it just touched my heart so much, but she wrote to me one Mother's Day as she was teaching my daughter in Sunday school, May 13th. "Dear Cindy, so much of mothering goes unnoticed and without thanks. Although I only spend a short time with Stephanie each week, the multitude of ways you love her, provide for her, teach her,
are so evident. And I thank you for being an amazing mom. Sincerely, Michelle. I kept this. It was honoring. It touched my heart, and it eased the stress that I had at that time in my life of needing an encouraging word. That is how we honor, ladies. We send a note. We buy a sandwich. We talk to somebody who doesn't know Jesus, and we share with them the love of God. And that is honoring. The rest of the rest of this passage in Philippians has to do with putting on the attitude of Jesus. Let him rule your hearts and minds. Verse 5. Have this attitude in yourselves, which was also in Christ Jesus, who, although he existed in the form of God, did not regard equality with God a thing to be grasped, but he emptied himself, taking the form of a bondservant and being made in the likeness of men. Being found in the appearance of a man, he humbled himself by becoming obedient to the point of death, even the death on the cross. For this reason also, God highly exalted him and bestowed upon him the name which is above every name, so that at the name of Jesus every knee would bow, of those who are in heaven and on earth and under the earth, and that every tongue will confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. Our principle is when we honor each other, it brings glory and honor to God. Revelations 4:11, I just have to read these verses. Worthy are you, our Lord and our God, to receive glory and honor and power. For you created all things, and because he created all things, that's why we can be honor those we do not think honorable. Because he created them, and he created them for a purpose. And we do not know their hearts. We do not know the abuse that they may have faced. We do not know the tragedies they have encountered. We do not know what set them off to be in a bad mood. We need to know that God values them. And because God created them, we need to honor them. You have created all things, and because you of your will, they existed and they were created. Revelations 5:12-13. Worthy is the Lamb that was slain to receive power and riches and wisdom and might and honor and glory and blessings. And every created thing which is in heaven and on the earth and under the earth and on the sea and all things in them, I heard saying, to him who sits on the throne and to the Lamb be blessings and honor and glory and dominion forever and ever. This is our Jesus that we need to exalt, and we exalt him when we honor one another. May God be glorified as we honor those who are worthy and those who are weak. May we show grace and honor to them as well. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we just lift you up today. We thank you for glorifying Jesus and letting us know him personally. And when we do things that honor you in our daily lives, in Jesus' name, amen.